had the pleasure of having a really long conversation with one of my friends that I don't get to talk to very often. And towards the end of our conversation, she said, "People say God's not trying to make you happy, he's trying to make you holy." And she agreed with that statement to a degree, because she knew that holiness and happiness are intertwined. "The holier I live," she said, "the happier I am." But then she continued to mention Proverbs. She says, God starts Proverbs out with, "Blessed is the man." And that word blessed means how happy. So how happy is the man? And she said, "I think God wants me to be happy." And I agree wholeheartedly with my friend. God wants us to be happy. This conversation with my friend, along with several other things that God spoke to me about through my own study and Bible reading this week, brings to light a harmful but commonly accepted mindset among us, and that is carrying out biblical principles with the wrong motive and focusing on outward compliance rather than inward transformation. Outward compliance alone, or acting holy and following lists, will not build a relationship with God or impact the world for Christ, because a key ingredient is missing, and that's love. When I come back, I will dive into lots of scripture and we will unpack and unfold the ideas and things that God has had me thinking about this week. I'll see you in a minute. Welcome to the More Power Than You Think podcast. I'm Jennifer Scow. After receiving a bipolar diagnosis in 2013, God taught me that his solution to the messiness of life was not changed circumstances, but rather a transformation of the mind to Christ's perspective. More Power Than You Think refers to the power we have to be changed and transformed based solely on what we think and believe in our mind. Renewing the mind is so much more than overcoming thoughts of depression and anxiety. It is choosing thoughts that have the power to unify instead of divide, love instead of hate, surrender instead of resist. It is the key to loving God properly, getting through suffering without accusing God, and prevents regret, sin, shame, and guilt. Everything we do today begins with a thought in our mind and what we choose to do with it. On this podcast, we learn to renew the mind in every area of our lives so we can live, love, and be loved in the way Christ intended. God's not trying to make you happy, he's trying to make you holy. That statement sounds extremely pious, in my opinion, and extremely dry. Almost like it's making a pursuit of happiness a bad thing, and that it can't be associated with God or holy living. Now, I don't know where this statement came from. I don't know if it's a person that actually said that statement, or this is just a belief that is permeating our community, our spiritual community. I don't really know. So let's say it was a person. I'm sure that whoever offered that statement had so much more to teach about it, and if they were given the chance, they would bring it into alignment with Scripture. But if we look at that statement without further knowledge of Scripture, then that statement does not represent the victorious Christian life that we are able to have, and it actually becomes a very unscriptural statement. It also puts the focus on the wrong purpose of our existence. But again, I don't know who said that statement, and if they were able to be right here with me, I'm sure they would take us much deeper into all the meaning that they packed into that sentence. Because, you know, we don't always have the opportunity to explain our thought completely, right? And sometimes the listener goes away with a partial understanding of what we were trying to convey. You know, I think that happens to anybody who tries to teach anybody anything, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or you teach adults or kids, or you're just a parent and you're trying to convey a truth to your children. We have truth that we're trying to unfold, and sometimes we don't either get the opportunity to unfold the whole thing, or people walk away without understanding everything that we meant by the statement. So this is not an attack on the statement necessarily, or especially a person, if this is actually one person that said this. It's simply a very thought-provoking statement, and I believe that we have a lot of traps that we're falling into based on what this statement conveys. So here's that statement again. God's not trying to make you happy, he's trying to make you holy. Well, we have to start by looking at what our purpose is in life. Is our purpose to be holy? Or is holiness the outcome of fulfilling our purpose? Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Colossians 1:16b says, all things were created by him and for him. Revelation 4:11 declares, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then, of course, the greatest commandment and instruction, Matthew 22:37-40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is key. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that last verse is telling us that all the commandments hang on these two commandments, which is to love God and to love others. And that's how you love God. You love God by loving him and loving others. Then Jesus further explains that the kind of love that we are to have for others is the kind of love that God has for him and that he has for us. John 15:12. This is Jesus speaking. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then in John 15:9, Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So our purpose in every single thing that we do, every action we carry out, every standard, every conviction, every doctrine that we carry out is for the purpose of fulfilling those two commandments, which is loving God and loving others, so that we can fulfill what we were created to do, which is to love God. He's saying we can't love God without loving others. They are intertwined. So holiness comes from fulfilling the purpose of loving God and loving others. All of those doctrines and biblical principles and standards and convictions that we're carrying out should be carried out with the motive of loving God and loving others. So to exclude loving God and loving others from the act of being holy is putting an emphasis on following lists and standards as a way of looking or acting holy, rather than on why we are acting holy, which is to love God and to love others. So that means that in our actions of holiness, they should be fulfilling the purpose of loving God and loving others. That's going to change how we carry out our actions, isn't it? I mean, okay, I'll move on. We must remember why we are to be holy. It is not to be pious, or to revel in our ability to rigidly follow lists, or to revel in our ability to get our children to comply to lists and certain behaviors. The actions of holiness are empty and mean nothing if love is excluded. We are falling into this trap too much in our spiritual circles. We are focusing on an outward compliance of what holiness looks like, without remembering what our motive should be behind our actions of holiness. And that motive is to love God by loving others. If we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we are reminded that our service for God means nothing without the motive of love driving it. This is going to be verses 1, 2, 3, 8, and 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that just means love in the King James Version, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That means those good actions of speaking in the tongues of men and angels without love is just a noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, love, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. We must remember that as we are pursuing a holy life, which is definitely scriptural, we must remember the motive behind it. It is to show the love of God and the love of Christ and to love others like God loves Jesus and Jesus loves us. Every single commandment is fulfilled by the two commandments of loving God and loving others. So everything we do, every act of holiness is not so that we look good or that we fulfill the lists and the checklists and the standards that either we have set for ourselves or someone else has set for us. If that's our motivation, people are going to get hurt. But if our motivation is to love God and to love others with the actions and convictions and standards that we have and uphold, we are going to live them out in a very different way. And there will be much less division between the brethren and between churches if our motive was to love God and to love others and not just act holy based on lists. Now, let's look at the scripture where God used this principle of be ye holy as I am holy and put it in context with the scriptures that are around it. A quick search of this phrase brought up several passages in Leviticus and then a key passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. So let's first go to Leviticus 11, verses 44 and 45. He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And verse 45, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." But you need to look at the entire rest of the passages or before this and after this. It is all about don't eat this animal. Do eat this animal. Don't touch this animal. If a vessel fall, it says, "And every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. And of all meat, you should eat this and not this." And he's just going on listing all of the rules that they have to abide by so that he will accept their sacrifice. So that "be ye holy as I am holy" in this context is all about them behaving according to lists so that God will accept their sacrifice and that they won't be defiled so that he doesn't have to reject the sacrifice. If we go on to the next time this is mentioned in Leviticus 19, verse 2, God says to Moses, he says, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then the whole rest of the chapter is back to the lists. "Fear every man his mother and father. Keep my Sabbaths. Do not turn unto idols. Don't make molten gods." And he just goes on and on and on with lists. Let's move on. In Leviticus 20 is the next time he mentions this. Leviticus 20, verse 7. God says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." And the whole chapter is about lists. "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them." Again, he goes on and on about lists and avoiding idols and not having anything to do with Moloch and about wizards. And if you participate in these things, you'll be cut off. Moving on to Leviticus 21, verse 8, God says, "Thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God, for he shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy." And again, this is all about not being defiled and rules that they have to follow. It's all the same. It's just more of the same. But now let's look how this is used in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." But I want you to notice that the entire previous verses in this book, in this chapter, are all talking about the sacrifice that Jesus made and the benefits that we have once we have accepted him as our Savior. Verse 2. "To the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit," capital S, "unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, not by lists. Not that they were saved by lists in the Old Testament, but that was the focus of their day-to-day living, was lists and being undefiled and being sanctified by their lifestyle so that God would accept their sacrifice. Verse 5 here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. These are all joyful verses. This is nothing about lists and requirements. This holiness is not based on the fact that you've got to keep the list. Let me keep reading. Verse 8, talking about Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit, capital S, of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Can you just tell the different spirit in which the New Testament is written after Christ has been the ultimate sacrifice? We were redeemed, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, which was the Old Testament, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now in Leviticus, they were told to be holy and sanctified by following lists so that their sacrifice would be accepted. But living in this age of grace, after the debt has been paid by the perfect Lamb of Jesus, and with the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us, we get to have a different experience. Now let's go down to verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. They are still looking to lists, and they are still not seeing that Jesus has paid the debt. And verse 14 goes on to say, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now remember in verse 6 we said, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, capital S. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, capital S again, there is liberty. You know, this gets into some deeper theology, and I'm not even going to pretend to be able to explain it in the depth that it deserves. I understand this truth, but I do not have it's not so cemented in my heart and in my mind. So in the show notes, I'm going to refer you to a sermon by Dr. John Van Gelderen. And this is a sermon where he really helped me understand the freedom that we have in Christ. And, you know, Paul talks about it, of course. We are saved by grace, and our sin, we are forgiven forever. So if I sinned 100 times today, I'm still secure in my eternity in heaven. But does that mean we can just sin and sin and sin? Well, of course not. But we also can't ignore the fact that we are not in bondage to the law. that changed with Christ. And I don't have the wisdom to convey to you with the depth of study that Dr. John Van Gelderen went in to this specific topic of the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. And so if you really want to get the foundational scripture proof that what I'm saying to you is accurate, go to the show notes and watch his sermon. It will free you so much, and it will also connect you in more fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We tend to be afraid of the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life, but he is where freedom lies. He is such an important part of our Christian life. He is not a second-class citizen of the Godhead. anyway, that will be in the show notes. So our sentence that triggered this whole episode that got my wheels turning was, God's not trying to make you happy, he's trying to make you holy. That puts a focus on lists. And if we're not careful in our pursuit of being holy, if we don't get our motive in the correct place, we're actually going to feel very empty, because serving God and following lists and obeying standards and convictions alone, yes, you might look holy, but you are going to have a leanness to your soul, and it does not build relationship with God. And like the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, you know, all of those holy things, all of those good things mean absolutely nothing without the proper motive, which is love. To love God and to love others is why we act holy. And to love God and to love others is why we follow the lists. But when that's not our motive, when our motive goes from our heart to the lists, we end up hurting people, because then our existence gets to be back to the letter of the law, which killeth. If you're wondering, why am I serving and serving and serving and showing up and being faithful and doing all these things, but I still have leanness in my soul? Your motive is probably pointing in the wrong direction. All of those things are to be done with the motive of loving God and loving others, and to unite you in fellowship with God by loving God and loving others. If the lists are being followed, or the list that you are calling your holiness list, if it's being followed without the motive of loving God and loving others, you're going to feel empty, and it is not going to have the impact that you want it to have. There were so many million directions that my brain went when I pondered that sentence, God's not trying to make you happy, he's trying to make you holy. Because we know, based on scripture, that the Christian life is to be this vibrant, victorious, beautiful, joyful, exuberant life. So to exclude that kind of victorious life so that we can be holy? That just doesn't make sense, does it? It contradicts itself. If our list following and our standard following and our conviction following is not leading others to Christ, making others want to know him and building our relationship with God, then please check your motive. Now, in my Bible study that I wrote, it's called the Diving Deep Bible Study, I talk about this thoroughly, because this problem of motive in carrying out our list standards and convictions is tearing our churches apart. It's causing division between churches and other believers that are in other spiritual communities. Motive is so much deeper than just, my motive is to love God. Well, but you got to make sure you're loving him properly. Right? You cannot love God without loving others. And if you're following lists and doing all these holy actions without the motive of loving God and loving others, it is not going to have the impact you desire. So I could go on and on and on. I'm so passionate about this subject, which is why it is a whole module in my Diving Deep Bible Study, motive. It's so important. If you don't have the right motive, it's going to affect your faith. It's going to affect renewing your mind. It's going to affect how you get through trials and trauma. It's going to affect your Bible reading and prayer, because you'll have your Bible reading and prayer be filled with all these rules, your holiness list rules. and it won't be joyful anymore. So motive is the very first module in my course, because you've got to get that motive in the right place so that your life serving Christ can be joyful and abundant. You can find that course at thedivingdeepbiblestudy.com. Okay, that was a lot of scriptures. If you're a study bug, you might want to listen to it again and take down those scriptures. It was a pleasure hanging out with you, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for taking time to listen and connect with me today. I'm your host, Jennifer Scow. We're going to end this episode with a song from one of my albums. If you're enjoying my music, you can watch my music videos on my YouTube channel and can listen or buy my music anywhere music can be found. Please take a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. First, this lets me know God is using the show in your life. And secondly, reviews prompt the algorithm to share this show with more of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If this has been a blessing to you, then leaving a review will help it be a blessing to others. Thank you for doing that for me. Until we meet again, I want to encourage you to invite God to everything and keep choosing loyalty to God's thoughts above your own. Thank you for inviting me into your day. We are co-laborers and soldiers in this battle for the mind, and the best news is that we are on the winning side. I'll talk to you next week. Love, Jennifer. Why have you kept me all these years? Why have you chosen to love me? Why have you spared no expense to redeem me? I can offer nothing worthy of your grace. But now you prepare a place for me, and I will sit at your table. I become your bride forevermore. I can't comprehend your love. You are worthy of praise forever. My hands are lifted to thee. Join the chorus of heaven's host as they say, you are holy, holy, holy. And all